I'd like us to read from Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, first 10 verses with the help of the Lord I'd like to focus on today, and may the Lord guide us and inspire our prayers, thanksgiving, especially the reading and understanding of the Word of God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made a firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. This far I desire that we read in our first reading this morning from the Word of God. And even though I enjoy kneeling down and praying, because of this limited space and kind of improvised situation, I'd like us to stand up, to rise and join our hearts in prayer to our Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this blessed word of Thine, the faithful testimony that has been recorded so long ago, and before that was delivered from mouth to mouth, from generation to generation. And then, O Heavenly Father, after Thou hast recorded this word, after it has been read to the children of Israel for so long, Thou hast multiplied it. And Thou, Lord, hast translated this word into many languages. We thank Thee, O Heavenly Father, for that labor of Thy Holy Spirit. And we praise Thee, O Lord, for the zeal, self-denial, and sacrifice of the faithful ones that spread the word all over the face of this world. We thank Thee, O Heavenly Father, for the martyrs that witnessed this holy word of Thine before the powers of darkness, before the rulers that were slaves of Satan, and before the world that needed so much this light of Thy truth. And we thank Thee, O Heavenly Father, for the blood and sweat that was used to bring this word to us. And all of that, O Lord, we acknowledge before Thee, would not avail anything if it were not for the sacrifice of Thy Holy Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name today we join our hearts and blend our minds to pray unto Thee, to praise Thee, O Lord, to worship Thee. And we pray, O Heavenly Father, that Thou make this obvious to us and clear to us, that Thou grant us, O Heavenly Father, deeper insight into this word of Thine, this well of wisdom, and new freshness to our hearts from this fountain of the living water. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, inspire Thou our prayers, our thanksgiving, our praises. Be Thou in our midst, and may Thy Spirit, O Lord, fill our hearts with this truth of Thine, that we may truly worship Thee in spirit and in truth. Holy Father, we acknowledge before Thee that often we fail to do Thy will, and often even we ourselves deprive ourselves of Thy blessings. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, forgive us our weaknesses, shortcomings, mistakes. Forgive us every disobedience, cleanse away every unrighteousness, and Thou, O Heavenly Father, purify our thinking, emotions, affections. Make our souls free from vanity and pride, lust of the flesh, lust of eyes. Deliver us from our doubts and fears, from our ignorance and superstition. And help us, O Heavenly Father, to receive this word of Thine, the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as the seed of life. And Thou make our hearts as that good ground, so that Thy seed may germinate and sprout and grow a big, strong root, and then grow up and bring forth that blessed fruit of meekness, of a humble and contrite heart, new life in Christ, true godliness, strong faith, ever new, fresh hope of Thy coming. Fill our hearts with the flame of Thy love and our daily walk with charity and loving kindness. Gracious Lord, Thou grant us peace, peace of Thy forgiveness, peace of Thy safekeeping of our souls, and the joy of Thy salvation, that deep and continual rejoicing of the true fellowship in Thy Spirit. May Thy Spirit dwell in our hearts and rule our lives. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, Thou cleanse away every impurity and heal all our wounds. And Thou make even the scars a testimony of Thy goodness and grace that has healed us, delivered us, and that has been creating the heirs of heaven from former sinners and slaves of darkness. Gracious Lord, today we pray for the souls that are not here, present in the flesh. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that each soul be precious in Thy sight, and that Thou today would, just as Thou has been doing ever since Thy Holy Son has proclaimed this blessed gospel on the earth, that Thou would be today healing the sick, strengthening the weak, encouraging the distressed and discouraged, that Thou would be, O Lord, comforting the sad and raising the dead, and fulfill Thou in these last days the words that Thou hast declared in Christ, that the hour is now, that even the dead will hear the voice of the Son of Man and rise into that new life. Holy Father, Almighty God, we pray also for the children back at home in Santa Maria, that they may also have a blessed moment around Thy holy word, and remember Thee, O Lord, that Thou also be their guide and protector. And for David back with the grandparents, that they also may experience the blessedness of sharing Thy holy word today, and that we all, O Heavenly Father, be filled with Thy teaching so much that through us, as weak and imperfect as we are, still Thy holy word may be proclaimed, and that Thou make us all a ray of Thy light, a voice of Thy truth, and a faithful image of Thy Son, that we may follow in the footsteps of the Savior, and in every difficulty, in every trial, that we may stand still and firm in this faith, for greater is the one that is in our hearts than the one that rules in the darkness of the world. Holy Father, much more than we can pray, Thou add to our small and poor prayer, fill our hearts with love and gratitude, that we may praise Thee today and every day of our pilgrimage, O Lord. And Thou, Heavenly Father, unite our hearts and minds in Christ, and bring all the souls that Thou hast redeemed into Thy fold, and make one flock under the rod of that one shepherd who did so much to give us this free grace and gift of life everlasting. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, for all Thy goodness and mercy, and for this blessed word of Thine, O Lord, glory, glory and honor be to Thy holy name forever and ever. Amen. In our second reading, I would like us to read from the second chapter of Genesis. Just a few verses from the beginning. Let's say first seven verses. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth, and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. This far I desire that we read at this time from the Word of God. In the beginning, or at least long ago, I think that these lines or this testimony was delivered from one generation to another, perhaps from Adam to Cain and Abel. And we remember that Abel kept the faith and Cain chose his own way. And then later on, it was delivered to Seth, the third child of Adam and Eve. And then from him to the next and to the next. And we remember one of the prophets, Enoch, prophesying early in those days. And that in that prophet, our Heavenly Father manifested in those early days that the curse which the first people have caused to come upon the earth has no power over the blessings of the Lord. That the blessings are still greater than the curse for those that trust the Word of God. So we read that Enoch, the seventh man, walked with the Lord, and then one day he just didn't come back to his earthly home. The Lord took him to be with the Lord. Even in those early days, the people could have realized, if they believed the Word of God, that the Word of God is very, very powerful. And so this story, this true testimony, the evidence of the creation was delivered from one generation to another, from one to another, and so it went all the way until this day. Do we remember when first time in our life, or what day or what date we remember when first time in our life this Word of God made a strong impression upon our heart and mind? When did that happen, or did we forget that? You see, it's easy for humans in the process of time and running after our chores and our assignments, and especially after our desires, our ambitions, it's easy to forget the beginning. But it's very good to remember the beginning. It's also very important to know, was there a beginning? Are we still, or are we at all, truly believing the Word of God? Or we have some impressions received by the influence of the other people, perhaps a good neighbor, or maybe a very zealous minister, preacher, pastor, or maybe something that we received from our parents or grandparents or some relative and so on, and it remained in our memory as something very precious, and it could be precious as well. But the most important thing is to see God, our Heavenly Father, as the Creator, and Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as the Savior, and all these other people as faithful, as dear, as precious as they could have been, as instruments of His goodness and grace. So that we serve the Lord because He is the Lord, not because of anybody or anything else, but because of the Lord Himself. Because our life and being is in His hands. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, light. And there was light. Now God did not have to say that. If that was His will, the light just had to come into existence. But I think even in the beginning, He had us in mind, so He said it, because it's very difficult for us to understand if something is not said, if something is not recorded, if something is not somehow communicated to us in the way that we can understand. Remember when our Lord Jesus Christ was at the tomb of Lazarus and He shouted, He said with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." Well, He didn't have to say that. Even without removing the stone, without any loud words, if it was, as it was, the will of the Lord that Lazarus would come forth, even Lazarus himself could not deny it because he was dead. And Lazarus came forth. Yet the Lord did that. He said, "Remove the stone." He wanted the people around not to focus on their misunderstanding and misconception of life and death, but to obey His word. So He said, "Remove the stone," and they did remove the stone. And our Savior praised the Father because the people obeyed His instruction, His direction. That's the way to resurrection. When we obey the word of God, when we hear His word, we are on the path of obedience, righteousness, faithfulness, salvation, new life in Christ. So, do we have any difficulty just plainly and simply believing this? Can we even try to think about that? What happened? This earth was void, without form, no continents, no oceans, just a big, big, massive mixture of elements. And everything was dark. And then God said, "Light. Let there be light." And light came into existence. Does that remind us of the first chapter in the Gospel of John? "In the beginning was the Word," God said. "In the beginning was an expression of God's will." And that same Word of God brought His light into the new creation that was He was creating when He turned our heart and our mind to His truth. Do we remember now some of those moments, at least one significant, at least one important moment in our life, when there in our darkened heart, in our shadowy conscience, appeared the clear and true light of the gospel of the Lord? It's good to refresh our memory and to think back there, and then to count all the blessings that the Lord has sent our way all along, and then praise the Lord. Be thankful for His goodness and mercy, and also to renew our faith in His power and His grace, because no one else could nor would keep us in His grace. Only He is the one that does that. So, when we are thankful to the Lord for His goodness and mercy that He has given us or bestowed upon us, then the difficulties and the bitterness of this life and the struggles, testing, trials, everything becomes much easier. When we can see that the Lord God, our Heavenly Father, has a purpose in that, what He is doing. It's not in vain. Or we may think that the earth today spiritually is void and formless. It's just a terrible mess altogether. But there is light. This Word of God is shining through the lives, through the living testimony of those few scattered all over the face of the earth today that are walking and following in the steps of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So if we have some difficulty, or perhaps later on we will meet someone who has a difficulty believing this, look, science, worldly teachings, all man-made theories or teachings, explanations of the origin of the universe and the process of developing life up to this present form and shape, all of that is against, as far as we know. Or should I make a correction? So much of that is against this Word of God. Who's going to believe the Word of God? How can it be? What kind of a power is that to create this whole world in 6 days? Just to say light, and light come into existence. How can it be? Well, you see, in these last days, the Lord has allowed the mankind to find out so much of in physics, in chemistry, in other branches of science. And today they can make an explosion, and in a few seconds, all that was in its natural shape will be turned into a mass of smoke, gases, ashes, in a few seconds. And the people have no difficulty believing that that's possible. They saw that with their own eyes. Well, when God created the world, it was a reversed process of this one. He said it, and it came into existence. He can put the things that He created in a shape, in a form, in a combination, as He wants. So, from that void and dark and shapeless earth that He created, God is able to create all that He wants to create. He is also able to destroy. And He also promised that He will. It's an amazing thing that quite a few people that profess Christianity seem to have no difficulty believing that God will destroy the universe as it is now. And yet they find it difficult to believe that God is the creator. But that's the same thing. The same power that will destroy the universe, the same power has created the world. Now, if we can trust this Word of God, if we read these verses and we don't have doubts and questions, thinking, no, it cannot be. Like Nicodemus when he talked with the Lord that night in John's Gospel, chapter 3. Nicodemus said, how can that be? If we don't have that problem as Nicodemus had, when we read these verses and we just feel how it happened, light was created, and then God divided the light from darkness. What an important thing at that time. I wonder if the light was mixed with the darkness, there wouldn't be real darkness nor real life. Everything would have been a mixture, probably like dust, or I don't know, maybe spots of light and spots of darkness. I don't really know. But God separated the light from the darkness, and that's something that is so helpful today. When someone is in that light of the Word of God, God will separate his heart, his mind. God will separate that soul, that new creation, from the darkness, from the world of sin. I think it's so good to read these verses and just to feel that's exactly how it happened. I try to think about King Nebuchadnezzar. I think he was the one that had a dream and then he forgot the dream. And now he's asking his wise men and magicians and astrologers, all those that claim some extra and special knowledge and some secret wisdom and the things of the world that is unknown to the humans and so on. The king Nebuchadnezzar, mighty king of so many, many countries, a great, huge empire, he is not able to remember his dream. A superpower is superpowerless. And he is asking his magicians, what did I dream? And I imagine that these magicians and astrologers, they did lie to the king many times. But at this time, they are scared to death. They cannot lie to him, because any time he might recall his dream and find out that they lied to him. What a terrible predicament for the people that fake wisdom. And if they were honest, as Joseph was honest when he talked to Pharaoh about Pharaoh's dream, Joseph said, it is not in me. It's in God's power, and God will reveal to Pharaoh, and God will reveal that to whom he will. Well, the king was... king. Destroyed. Poor king. He can only destroy. He cannot help. He cannot help himself. He cannot help the other people. Well, Daniel received the revelation, and he came to the king. And first, Daniel thanked the Lord, and he praised God together with his companions. And Daniel came to the king and said, this is the dream. And as the king was listening to Daniel's revealing the dream to the king, I think that the king was listening, and as Daniel was talking, the details of that dream came back to king's mind, to king's memory. And as king was listening and Daniel was talking, the king just felt, yes, that's exactly what it was. Well, I think that's how it should be. When we read the story of creation, it should be that we just feel, yes, that's exactly how it happened. The power of God created this world. He is our creator and he is our savior. Now, in this short time that we have here together, especially someone who is as weak and limited as I am, cannot bring all the great moments. Some people have a special gift and talent of bringing some highlights. But in this chapter, every verse is a highlight. So it would take at least a few hours to briefly just touch each verse. But let us, for a moment, look at the beginning of chapter 2. The heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Now, we know how important it is for us to rest. But what do we think? Why did God rest on the seventh day? Was he exhausted with his creation? Was he at least a little bit tired? So he took a long sleep on the seventh day? I really don't think so. And I hope none of us think so. God of the creation, God of the Bible, the true God, Almighty God, he is not exhausted. He is not tired. He is not weakened. When we read through the just that first part of chapter 1, whenever God created something, he saw it was good. Well, he knew it was good. He was not making an experiment. He knew that from the beginning. But whenever he created something, he enjoyed that. It was so good. Just when we taste some good meal, and especially if we are hungry or thirsty, and we take that first morsel, oh, it's so good. So when God created something, he enjoyed that. He was rejoicing in his creation. It was so good. So, he was not tired. I don't think so. And yet somehow he established or made a rule that there is going to be a day of rest, the seventh day. What was that seventh day of rest? Well, in our life, in our daily walk, when we have a good balance of effort, work, labor, and the pleasure, the joy of accomplishment, then we have a good life. Then we can be thankful to the Lord for all His gifts and His goodness. It's not always the case. I think all of us know. Days and sometimes months and sometimes even years of a lot of labor and just minimal accomplishments, very frustrating struggles and battles. But here, the Lord created the world, everything was in place, yet something is missing, something else is necessary. It's necessary to have time to celebrate, to rejoice in that creation, and to remember our Creator. Again, I feel, and if I'm wrong, please, after this service, when we get to our Bible study, take time to correct me. I'll be thankful for every true correction. That again in this chapter 2, God was having our needs and our blessings in mind. He created that seventh day, that as He is blessing that day and bestowing His blessing upon His whole creation, that we also remember our Creator and praise Him for His goodness and mercy. The joy of the Lord is the power, the strength of His people. Without the joy of the Lord, we are weak, feeble, discouraged. And it shouldn't be that way. So God blessed the seventh day, verse 3, and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. You know what I think in a family, for example? What is true rest? When we get together and none of us has any demands, just enjoy one another. We just love to be together with the Lord. That's that rest. God was happy with His new creation. And the creation was happy with the Creator. There was a great blessing. So there was a celebration. So what do we read somewhere in the New Testament about this peace, this seventh day, this Sabbath day, that our Lord Jesus Christ is our peace? You see, when we believed the Lord, when the Lord delivered us from the world, when we were made free from the fear of God's judgment and death, when we were made free, we were delivered from the power of sin, so that we don't have to be slaves of sin. And whenever we see that something is lacking or something is not pleasing the Lord in our life, we can come right away to the Lord, to the Father, through the Son, and ask new mercies, new deliverance, new healing, renewal of His goodness and grace, so that the seventh day, the peace and rest in the Lord would go on and on, even here, during our earthly pilgrimage. Well, I think that Genesis is the creation. It's the creation of everything. It's even the creation of our faith. If anyone has problem and difficulty believing in the evidence of the creation in Genesis, the same person will have even more problems believing the verses of the Gospel of John, chapter 1, that in the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was with God. There was an expression of God's power, God's love, God's creative and saving power in Christ our Lord and Savior. Well, I think mainly that would be the message. I hope I shared with you something like a backbone of a message that would take a few hours or maybe a few days. And the desire of my weak heart is that the Lord would bless His holy word, fill our hearts with this truth, and that He would also make this word powerful in our life, so that when we are here together, we can encourage one another in everything that is good, that if necessary, and most often it is, we can warn one another from everything that is not pleasing the Lord, that we can also be patient with one another. If the Lord revealed something to one yesterday, it doesn't have to be revealed to everybody else today. It may be tomorrow. And also that we can share the Word of God freely and yet in that fear of God, knowing that when we touch one another, we touch the apple of His eye. Knowing also that when we touch one another with gentleness and loving kindness, that we are touching the inheritance of the Lord, so that we can sincerely and truly be thankful for the Word of God and for His many blessings, even so much that this truth of His can flow through us, not just perhaps sit somewhere there in a corner of our heart or mind and be there and stay there and remain dormant for the rest of our days here on earth, but rather that this Word of God would be fruitful as the seed of life, as the truth that is bringing light to the others. May the Lord bless His word and make His holy Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in truth our Savior and our Lord and Master, and make us His beloved and faithful and lovable and loving children, those whom He has blessed with that new circumcision of heart and mind and tongue, that we be blessed with that loving and forgiving heart, loving and understanding mind, and that our soul may be a peaceful, peace-loving and peacemaking witness of the Lord. And of course, to our Heavenly Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to His Holy Spirit that is maintaining that blessed Sabbath in Christ, even in our hearts, if we follow, if we obey, if we believe Him. To our mighty God, glory and honor be now and forevermore. Amen.